Why would they post that? I'm not saying that about you, of course. But what I am saying is it does reveal and show you a lot of what people are struggling with and how they're dealing with it. And so I want to read three sections of Scripture, and I invite you to follow along in your Bibles with me. The first one is in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, 1 to 10. And I'm just going to read these scriptures all together in a row, and then I want to talk about them. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 10. Paul writes to young pastor Timothy, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ, and I'm not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." The next scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Jesus writes and proclaims this to his disciples. He didn't write it, but he proclaims this to his disciples. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Stay in chapter 5, jump down to verses 43 to 48. Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do? What do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And so, Father, we come to you and we pray that you would grant us understanding this morning and insight into your word. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher, and most of all, that in all that we do and say, that we would lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. So what do we do? I don't know about you, but it just seems like the crisis that we're facing are coming quicker and quicker and quicker. And Jesus said that's the way it was going to be in the end times before his coming. It was going to be like birth pains. Now, I didn't have a child, and I don't really fully understand that, other than I was there when it was happening. and they start out, you know how it, ladies, you know, starts out X number of minutes apart, and then it gets closer, and it gets closer, and it gets closer, and it gets closer, and more intense, until you have the baby. Fortunately, Karen had one of those Dewicky things to where she didn't feel any pain. We just watched TV, but don't criticize us for that, because I think Hannah came out just fine. But as we go through all that, all those times of crisis, and as we see the news, and I'm telling you, I, I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of seeing that little squiggly thing. You know, I mean, I just keep seeing the little squiggly guy. I don't want to see the little squiggly guy. I mean, I know what it looks like. And you just are inundated with news and inundated with reports. And I'm just going to make this one statement. Nobody really knows what's going on. I mean, everyone's guessing right at this point, right? I mean, even the medical experts are doing their best, but they don't really fully know what's going on yet. And they're changing the course through the time. But how do we respond to that as Christians? And what do we do? Well, I believe that the Bible calls us to a fourfold response. And I like this because we are a four-square church. We have a four-square response. We believe that Jesus is our Savior, baptized the Holy Spirit, healer, and soon-coming King. And God gives us four distinct things that we are to do in a time of crisis. Now, understand that these are things that we do. Listen, we do, and we include those who we do not agree with. We include those who are walking in error. And we include these things for even those people who have evil intents directed toward our lives. So what I'm going to share with you is not exclusive of doing only for the people that we like, or only for the people in our political party, or only for the people who are saying the things that we want to hear. But we do these things for everyone. All right. Our fourfold response is we offer supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men and in all situations. Now, I want to break those down because it sounds like Paul's like repeating the same thing. He's like talking about prayer four times, but he's using four distinct words. And he's focused on four distinct things. And we want to look at what they are. The first word that he uses is the word supplications. Now, in my pastor's class, when we talk about prayer, I say, all of us are born into life with a PhD for supplication. You know, the baby, little Ellie, wants to eat. What does she do? She supplicates. And you know, that's what, you know, I either want to get changed, I want to get fed, or I want to be burped. You know, because right now she's not saying, Dad, I want to play this game with you. She's just going, give me those three things, one of those three. And you got to struggle to figure out which one it is, right? Nope, she's dry. Oh, we just fed her. It must be the burp. You know, and it's just a process of elimination. So we're all born with this ability to supplicate. The word supplication means that we ask for something specific. Paul's telling Timothy that the first thing we do in times of crisis is we begin to pray for the situation, we begin to pray for others specifically. Now, in this Ebola crisis, can we think of something specific to pray about? I think we can. That the person in charge of CDC would specifically know the proper steps to take to avoid this disease from continuing to spread. We can pray specifically for humility within our leaders so that they'll be able to admit when they're wrong and make the proper changes when they understand what they've done that is wrong. We can pray specifically that those two nurses that now have Ebola will be healed and restored. We can pray specifically that the others who have been in contact with them will not come down with the virus. We can pray specifically for our president that he will have clarity of leadership in this issue. Now, you may not like our president. And in our church, I would venture that would be quite a few of you. But you need to supplicate for this man because he's the man in charge. And the Bible says we're to offer supplications for all kings and all those who are in authority over us. That includes presidents that we like, and it includes presidents that we don't like. We don't exempt the guy we don't like because we're just waiting for him to get voted out with someone we do like. We need to pray for them. Now, how many of you think the church loved the Apostle Paul when he was killing Christians? There was somebody in the church who said, instead of just running and hiding from this guy, let's start praying for his salvation. I guarantee you, the Bible doesn't record it, the Bible doesn't say it, but I guarantee you there was somebody who said, I tell you what we're going to do, we're going to pray for this bugger until he gets saved. And he was on the road to Damascus to go get more Christians, and Jesus met him, and he was converted into the man who wrote this epistle to a young pastor that he was discipling. God can change a ruler like that. He changed Nebuchadnezzar, Darius the Mede, and others. So we're called to offer supplications. This is the thing when we say, give us this day our daily bread. That's a specific prayer for what we specifically need. And there are specific prayers that we all can be praying. Number two, he says we're to offer supplications and prayers. Now this sounds so general. And really the word in the Greek is general. It's kind of like a blanket word that's used many times throughout the New Testament for just praying. So Paul says you need to ask specifically and then you just need to pray. But can I suggest to you that what it might also mean is that we're to pray for the things that are not specific but generally needed? And not to forget those? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Have no anxiety about anything. I see so much anxiety in the lives of believers over this crisis and over other things. And I'm going to tell you a little personal story here. I'm going to watch my time. But I was pastoring when the AIDS crisis broke out. And when the AIDS crisis broke out, it was not much different than the mass hysteria and the fear that's running through our civilization in our day now with the Ebola crisis and other crises that have come, the swine flu and the H1, and whatever, you just name them. I mean, whenever a new wave comes, there's just this hysteria that hits people. The AIDS one was pretty bad because, I mean, at that time, there was just, people were just dropping. I mean, they weren't living long. They didn't have many medications, and we had a young man in our church. I'll just use his first name. His name was Chris. And Chris was a struggling, recovering homosexual. Recovering because he knew that that lifestyle was not something that pleased God and that he needed to turn from. Struggling because it was hard. In our church, much like I believe what this church would do, received him, embraced him along that walk and journey. I spent hours with the man. And he fell into sin and would repent and come back and we would start again and we would start over again and we would start over again and start over again. And then he didn't have a place to live, and one of the dear families in our church took him into their home. Now understand, at this time, we didn't know how AIDS was transmitted, much like we don't know how Ebola was transmitted. We didn't know if you could get it from accidentally drinking from a cup that he drank from, or if he sneezed on you or breathed on you, and yet this family was willing to take him in. And I'm not gonna fake you out and say that we didn't have the family and I didn't have some talks and that we didn't take some precautions and use some common sense, and we did. But we walked with this young man until he contracted AIDS and until he died of AIDS. There wasn't another person in our congregation who got AIDS from helping that man. The family didn't get AIDS. I didn't get AIDS. No one else got AIDS. But the fear was real. So when I share this stuff with you, again, I'm not giving you medical advice, but I'm trying to give you some spiritual advice, that we have to first begin to offer supplication, specific requests for those in authority over us, for the people who are involved in this. I'm going to be bold to say is that I don't believe that anyone in their right mind is building a conspiracy to kill a bunch of people. I think that when the guy gets on television who's in charge of the CDC and says what he says, I really believe he's trying. And I think that Christians need to take a little bit different position than just criticizing, and bad-mouthing everyone in authority over us. They're all a bunch of jerks. They're hiding it from us, all this kind of stuff. They're just like us. They're scrambling. But I don't believe that there's this dire conspiracy to kill off a certain segment or the other political party. And I've heard all of the crazy stuff. I mean, so we need to offer general prayers. We need wisdom. We need strength. We need peace. We need guidance. We need to be before the Lord in prayer. So we offer supplications and prayers. The next thing it says, we're to offer intercessions. Now, when you hear the word intercession, what you generally think about is praying for someone else. Is that right? Intercession, we would define it as standing in the gap and praying on someone else's behalf. But the Greek word here doesn't have that connotation at all. Literally, it's translated a falling in with or a coming together. Now, I want you to hang in here with me just for a moment so I can kind of flesh this out for you. A falling in with or a coming together. As I meditated on that and as I studied that, what I was drawn to was really, I believe it's pointing to our invitation as believers to enter into the throne room of God, into the very presence of the living God. Hebrews chapter 4:16 and chapter 10:19-23 says that we are to boldly come into the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we might find grace and mercy in our time of need. The psalmist calls it the cleft of the rock, or the secret place. David called it my place of refuge. Here's the deal. If you listen to all the stuff that's going on right now, and that's all you're doing right now, you're going to just wig yourself out. And take this from a guy who lost his wig a long time ago. You're not going to know what's true, what's false. You're going to believe something one day. You're going to live bound up with fear and anxiety. If that's all you're doing is consuming the news reports 24/7, you need to spend equal time in the presence of the living God. You need to draw aside and be in the throne room with your Father. You need to come in to the safe place, to the place of refuge, to the place where you know that He is the one who is going to guide you and protect you. You need to come to the place where you'll receive clarity and wisdom and direction and understanding. You need to come to the place where your heart's going to be changed so you don't become critical and angry and you don't become speaking things that you really wish you wouldn't have spoken, or posting things that you really wish you wouldn't have posted. Funny thing about posts, they go out, you can delete them, but they're still there. And they last forever. And finally, of the four things that we're called to do, we're called to offer supplication, we're called to offer prayers, we're called to offer intercessions. And let me tell you this. The Bible tells us, and we read it in Revelation chapter 5, that we are a kingdom of priests. One of the things a priest did was he went into the presence of God, didn't he? He went into the holy place to trim the lamps, to change the showbread, to change the incense on the altar of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. He went in there, and then once a year, the high priest went into the most holy place to bring the atonement, blood of atonement, into the mercy seat. But now there's not Old Testament priests, and you are priests of God, right? And you are called into the same presence of God. We don't go into an earthly tabernacle. We're not coming into a building, but we're entering into the spiritual tabernacle of fellowship with God. And when you do that, one thing a priest did, especially the high priest, is that he had on he didn't have a Hawaiian shirt on. He had a linen ephod. And on that, he had 12 stones that were on his breastplate. And those 12 stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And then on his shoulders, he had 12 stones, six on one side, six on the other. And they represented the tribes of Israel. He came bringing the concerns of Israel, both on his heart and carrying them on his shoulders, into the presence of the living God. We don't just run to the safe place so we can hide. When we're in there and we're renewed and we're refreshed, we naturally begin to lift up needs for others. Intercession does flow and become that for other people because we come as priests, and a priest represents men and women to God. That freed me up as a pastor a long time ago. I can't remember all the prayer requests I get. I try to. We have a blog where they're stored, and I try to look at them, and I feel guilty. I don't want to tell somebody I'm going to pray for them and then not do it, and I'm just human like you, and I probably get more of them than you do. And so what I realize is that even though I can't remember all the time, at every moment, every prayer request I've received, as a priest of God, I bring it on my heart. And when I bring it on my heart and I enter into that secret place with the Father, through the blood of Christ, he knows those needs that I carry in for you and for those that I'm praying for. Even though I can't remember them, he sees them, he reads them, he knows them. And I am an intercessor even when I forget to intercede. Fourth thing, giving of thanks. This is the natural response of a believer who's entered in the presence of the Lord. I mean, listen. What happened when we were worshiping and we realized who we were worshiping and we read Revelation 5 and we realized that's the guy? We all broke into applause. Why is that? Because that's what we naturally do. Karen and I went to the Paul McCartney concert this week and cracked me up because the guy amazes me. 72 years old, that guy's rocking for 3 hours, you know. And talk about guitars. This is for Eddie and for all the guitar players and for John. That I never seen anybody change guitars so often and so fast than Paul McCartney. He'd finish a song and he'd hold his guitar up and they'd run in another guitar and there he was going again, you know. I'm thinking, I got to get some of what he's taking. As long as it's legal and safe and doesn't have any side effects. But anyway, So he's like rocking it out, but he gets up there, he goes, now you probably shouldn't say this, but what about those cowboys? And he went, you know, he starts running across the stage, Paul McCartney, and everybody broke into cheers. Well, why? Because when our team wins, when something good happens, that's the natural response. Thanksgiving. I thought about that. Listen, we're not giving thanks for the sin. We're not giving thanks for Ebola. We're not giving thanks for the brokenness in human lives. We're not giving thanks for the peril we see in our world. We are giving thanks because we know and are known by the one who has overcome the world. John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Now that means that as a believer, we're going to respond, we should respond to all of these things differently than anybody else. Than anybody else. Why? Because we know the one who has overcome. My final point on this is some of you have internal barometers. You felt that rainstorm a-coming that we just recently had. You knew it was coming before anyone else knew it. I've got a barometer in my left knee. you know, from a couple knee operations and some complications there, that when the weather changes, I know it, and my knee tells me that something's about to come. A barometer tells us when the atmospheric pressures are changing, and that usually indicates when a storm's a-coming. May I suggest that your level of thanksgiving is a barometer of your faith? That to the degree that you're giving thanks, and to the degree that you're entering into the most holy place and being drawn to worship, is the degree to which you're trusting and believing and resting in Him. When Jesus was with His disciples, they were on a boat, and He was down there taking a nap, and the boat was getting thrown all over the place. You know the story. And the disciples were bailing, you know. Oh, they're going. Someone had the bright idea of asking the question, how come Jesus isn't bailing? How come He's sleeping down there? And that got the whole group stirred up, I'm sure. Yeah, how come He's not bailing? Yeah, where's Jesus? He's the Lord. Why isn't He out here helping us? And they went down, Jesus, why aren't You helping us? I didn't want to be that bright person, but someone did. You got to get up here. We got an extra bucket and we're going down, buddy, if you don't get up here and help us. I can just, forgive me, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but I can just see Jesus going, ah, what's the fuss all about, everybody? What's the fuss all about? Look, we're sinking. Oh, you've little faith. Peace be still. Okay, now what's the next thing we got? Got anything harder? Dear one, listen, if we know that we're in the hands of the One who can calm the waters, we can be people of thanksgiving no matter what we walk through in life. All right, so now, I don't have time, I got a lot more stuff, but I'm just going to kind of summarize it in two things. God's ultimate purpose in everything that we go through in this life is directed toward the salvation of souls up to the time that He returns. Paul told Timothy that they're to offer supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving it thanks to all men. And let me just read this. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. He said, I want you to do this so you can live a quiet and peaceable life. Now, how many of you know that doesn't mean that the world's going to be quiet and peaceable? Jesus said, in the world you're going to have what? But He says, I want you to be quiet and peaceable. Why? Because you've got a mission, folks. We've got a mission to reach this world for Christ. It's about not me and my comfort. It's about that person who doesn't know Christ. What about praying for the salvation of those two nurses? How many of us were praying for the salvation of the guy from Africa who died? Instead of saying, he should have never falsified, he should have never done this, and they should have never, and we should have. Oh, come on, let's pray. I'm summarizing here. Last point. We're called to be a people of blessing to all people. God the Father is our example. He gives rain to the just and the unjust. You know, during World War II, it rained on the farms in Germany just like it rained on the farms in America. Does that mean Hitler was a good guy? Does that mean there shouldn't have been a war to take him out? All of that's justice, and God uses the governments in this age to judge and everything, but He still gave rain to the just and the unjust. We're not approving sin, we're not approving evil, we're not approving anything, but we're realizing the heart of the Father goes beyond our immediate personal perspective. We're called to love our enemies, we're called to bless those who curse us, and we're called to pray for those who hate us. We are not called to draw away from our enemies, We are not called to curse those who threaten us, and we are not called to withhold our prayers from those who hate us. Now, understand there's a difference between what a government does as God's ruling authority to execute vengeance on the ungodly and the response of the individual Christian's life. You understand the difference? God will call governments justly to stand against oppression through police forces, through armies, but he calls Christians at all times to be people of prayer. Karen has a little Bible. It's well-worn, a little New Testament that her dad carried during World War II in his pocket the whole time he served. He was a captain in the army. He saw such horrendous things that he would never talk to anyone in his family about them. He was involved in several of the big offenses. But he carried the Bible over his heart because he knew that even as an agent of the government executing wrath on the ungodly, he was first and foremost a Christian. And that even though he might, in that role of being a soldier, have to take the life of another, he was still called to pray for the one that he may have to shoot. What's driving us, folks? Let me tell you, if we're not the light of the world, who will be? If we're not the salt of the earth, who will be? If the world looks at us and how we respond to this crisis and doesn't see anything different from all those who are running around in fear and criticism and hatred and anger, then how will they ever see Jesus in our lives? Worship team, come on up. We're going to close. Here's what we're going to do as we close. In conclusion, we have a fourfold response to offer supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. We have a singular purpose, the salvation of souls, and we have a singular call, the blessings of all people. So as we sing, we always sing a couple songs. I usually pray in the middle, but I'm not going to do that this morning. We're just going to sing these two songs. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to invite you to come and pray. You don't have to do it long. I'm going to open the altars, come to the cross as we worship and close with these last two songs. Come up and just pray. Pray for this crisis. Pray for those in authority over us. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who need help. Pray for the salvation of lost souls. Come to the altar this morning and pray as we close. In the name of Jesus. in Jesus' name this morning. I have a word for someone here this morning. And when God speaks to me, it's usually in pictures. And so I want to bring this forth. If ever you were a little kid, all of you were little kids at one time, but you remember the little balsa airplanes that you would buy at the store, and they would have the little plastic propeller, and you would put the rubber band on the back, and you would wind it up, and if you really wanted it to fly a great distance, you would keep winding it until it double knotted. And then if you were really brave, you would keep winding it until it was triple knotted. And then you would let it go. And I don't say this lightly, but there's someone here this morning and your heart is triple knotted in fear. And anger. And you've walked in this morning and you're just wound up so tight. You've been wound up all week over all this stuff. I believe the Lord would say to you, would you just let go of that propeller and allow me to let you soar beyond that anger, beyond that fear, beyond that confusion. And he'll lift you up on wings of eagles. Father, I pray that you do that for all of us, but for the dear one who's bound, you want to right now bring release in Jesus' name. Lord, we place our trust in you. We do pray for all those who are in authority over us. We brought them to this altar these past few moments. We prayed for our president and our leaders and our governors and our healthcare officials and the people in the CDC. We prayed for the two nurses and all those who are in harm's way, who are just watching a time clock to see if they develop the virus. And we just are praying for the protection of our families and the protection of our churches. Most of all, Lord, we're praying for the salvation of souls and all of this, that hearts and lives and eyes would turn to you. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals us. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord God who provides. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord God, our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God, our peace. Come and just lift us this morning on wings of eagles. Renew our strength. Renew our faith in Jesus' name. Altar prayer team members who are here, come forward. If you have further need for prayer, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, and you're just wrestling through all of this on your own, and you want to know how you can have a partner who will not only save you and give you the promise of eternal life, but be there to walk with you each and every day, then you can come up and one of these couples will pray for you. If you need anointing with oil and prayer for healing, one of these couples will pray for you. But now receive the blessing of the Lord. And I mean this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you shalom, his peace. Go this week and be courageous. Go this week and be filled with faith, not fear. Go this week and offer supplications, prayers, intercessions, in giving of thanks for all men, in Jesus' name. 6 minutes over, not too bad. God bless you, you're dismissed.